Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, text number 67, chapter 18, Perfection of Renunciation, text 67. Idam tena tapaskaya nabhaktaya kadachana nachashushu shave vachyam nachamam yovasuyati. This confidential translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Purport. Persons who have not undergone the austerities of the religious process, who have never attempted devotional service in Krishna consciousness, who have not attended a pure devotee, and especially those who are conscious of Krishna only as a historical personality, or who are envious of the greatness of Krishna, should not be told of this most confidential part of knowledge. It is, however, sometimes found that even demoniac persons who are envious of Krishna, worshipping Krishna in a different way, take to the profession of explaining Bhagavad Gita in a different way to make business. But anyone who desires actually to understand Krishna must avoid such commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is not understandable to those who are sensuous. Even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined in the Vedic scriptures, if he is not a devotee, he cannot understand Krishna. And even one poses himself as a devotee, but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who envy Krishna because he has explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the Supreme, that nothing is above him or equal to him. There are many persons who are envious of Krishna. Such persons should not be told the Bhagavad Gita, for they cannot understand. There is no possibility of faithless persons understanding Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. Without understanding Krishna from the authority of a pure devotee, one should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta. Oh, actually, let's read the verse again. Idam tena tapaskaya nabhaktaya kadachana nachashushu shave vacham nachamam yovasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadyade Siddharane. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna summarizes the entire Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary of the entire Vedic literature. And that summary is the process of becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Beginning text 65, Krishna says, Manmana. So the process begins with hearing about Krishna. Just by hearing about Krishna, one can get some understanding of who Krishna is and how great he is. And one will understand how we ourselves are by nature dependent upon Krishna, but somehow or another, because of misdirected desires, we think we're in competition with Krishna to become the Supreme. But with such a proper hearing and with proper understanding, then one will try to become a devotee of Krishna rather than a competitor against Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakto. One will try to get some devotional feelings and namaskaru. And if one actually tries to become a devotee of Krishna and understand and experiences Krishna to some degree, one will understand how great Krishna is. And that will make one humble. And the humbler we become, then the more we'll be able to worship Krishna. Worshiping Krishna is not just an intellectual exercise, it's an exercise of feeling. But that feeling is developed by experiencing a higher taste in relationship with Krishna. Then Krishna goes, Sarva Dharma Prajaja, Mame Kama Charanam Vraja, Ahang Tvang Sarapa Pevyo, Mokshi Syami Masuchaha. That there may be many processes to elevate one's consciousness, at least to the platform of understanding the difference between self and the body, or the presence of the Supreme Person as the Supersoul within the heart. So there are gradual processes by which one's consciousness can be elevated to understand things as they actually are. But Krishna says all these processes are unnecessary if one simply accepts me and becomes my instrument, agrees to act as my instrument. And in this age, of course, becoming an instrument means becoming an instrument for Krishna's mission in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted everyone who had some understanding to tell others about Krishna and their relationship with Krishna. So Krishna never intended this knowledge to be limited to a very small group of people. He wanted everyone to have the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And therefore he gave us the process of dancing, chanting, and feasting. The main austerity, tapasya, is to chant, dance, and feast. And if that's too austere, Krishna has not figured out any simpler process than that yet. Maybe next Kali Yuga, you'll get another chance. Maybe he'll get something simpler than that. But that's some time off, and we may have to wait for the next day of Brahma. Get such an opportunity. In any case, Krishna advises that we become his instrument and tell others about Krishna. Ramanujacharya was told by his spiritual master that I'm going to give you a very special mantra, and if you chant this mantra regularly, you'll be liberated. But you must keep it a secret. If you don't tell anyone else this mantra, because it's so powerful that it can liberate anyone. So Ramanujacharya immediately went to the marketplace and told everyone, please chant this mantra. If you chant it, it's so powerful that you'll become liberated. When his spiritual master heard that Ramanujacharya had publicly explained the mantra to others, or publicly announced the mantra to others, he became very angry at his disciple and said, why did you do this? So Ramanujacharya said that if the mantra is so powerful it can liberate everyone, then everyone should get a chance to chant it. And even by disobeying your orders, I'll go to hell, still everyone else will be benefited. Therefore, those who understand the value of the Hare Krishna mantra, the value of Krishna consciousness, they're obliged to give it to others. Now Krishna is, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, that to become Krishna conscious, one has to work on the Krishna conscious platform. We may not be Krishna conscious at the present time, but we have some understanding and faith, then we should try to work on that platform of Krishna consciousness, known as Madhyama Adhikari. Those who approach Krishna consciousness who have still material desires, they're called Kanista Adhikaris. That is as Krishna says, Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Janasukritina Arjuna Arta Jignasya Artarati Gyani Chabharatar Shivar. Four kinds of pious people approach me. Those who are in distress, those who want some material comfort, those who are inquisitive, and those who are seeking for liberation from material misery, material existence. Therefore, generally, those who are aspiring devotees, they're in one of those four categories. Either they approach Krishna out of distress, or out of wanting to get some material gain, or they want to satisfy their inquisitiveness, how to live more happily in the material world, maybe on another higher planet, where they can enjoy life more. Or they want to get out of material life entirely and merge in Brahman. But these are all material desires. So although we may approach Krishna with material desires, and those desires are fulfilled generally through the varna and ashram system, or in this age simply by the process of devotional service. So devotional service can also be performed to fulfill material desires. Akama, sarvakama, va, moksha kama, udaradi, tevrena, bhakti yogena, yajeta purushampara. So whether one is full of desires, or has no desire, full of desires means that one has one of those four kinds of desires. Or has no desire, one wants liberation. Akama, sarvakama va, moksha kama, udaradi. So whether one is akama, wants akama, sarvakama va. Whether one actually approached Krishna without any material desire, or full of desires, or wants liberation, one should, in any case, do devotional service. So this first one, akama, means we should do devotional service on the spiritual platform. And that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has told us is, Īśvare tadadīneṣu bulīśesu dvitsāsvucā prema maitri kripopeka yat karoti samadmaha. That for Krishna, Īśvara, that our service to him on the liberated platform, working on the liberated platform, is we try to love him. Loving Krishna means we perform the nine kinds of devotional service, such as hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, offering service to Krishna, etc. So there, love for Krishna is shown by our service. We may not know Krishna that intimately. We may not have so much feeling towards Krishna, but still Krishna will take our service as at least an attempt to show our love to him. And that will grow eventually to prema. Now, neophyte devotees, they concentrate on trying to get benedictions from Krishna. They don't usually know how to properly behave towards others in a devotional way, because they're interested in material gain. Therefore, their general interactions with others are on the basis of either trying to see what they can get from others, either grossly or subtly. Such as grossly means to get some material gain in the form of money or position. And subtle is profit, adoration, distinction. Try to appreciate and relish the adoration that they get from others, or the distinction they get from others. And sometimes there is, on the other side, there is aversion, that people are not giving me the recognition, they're not giving me the profit. They're even trying to threaten my profit, my gain. And therefore all the interactions in the material world are generally governed by either our own personal hankering or our lamentation in relationship to others. And because of that, we're not happy, we're not peaceful. Therefore, in their interaction with others on the spiritual platform, for the bhaktas, there's maitri, there is friendship. Friendship means trying to help them become Krishna conscious. Try to cooperate with them so that we hear and chant together, and we try to help others become Krishna conscious together. Maitri. That the center is Krishna, to love him, and we cooperate with others so that Krishna is pleased. And then on the working on the liberated platform, there's another class of people, the last class of people. Well, there's the innocent that we try to elevate in Krishna consciousness, But here are this other class of people called the envious, those who are not austere, those who are not devoted, and those who are not engaged in devotional service. Of course, the Srila Prabhupada said that devotees, when they're more advanced, they even ignore Krishna's injunctions, and they try to help them become, such classes of people become Krishna conscious. But this requires some amount of spiritual advancement to be effective. Just like Narada Muni was wandering on this planet, and he came across a place where he saw that their animals were flapping in great pain with arrows in their bodies, and they were half killed. So he's wondering, why would anyone cause such pain to these poor animals? Who is this person? He came to the clearing, and all the other animals who were nearby became frightened, and they ran away. So one hunter appeared, wearing a lion skin or something like that. And he was about to curse Narada Muni for frightening away all the animals. But due to Narada Muni's presence, due to his spiritual influence, this person, this hunter, could not actually say anything bad. Instead, he said, "My dear sir, why are you frightening these animals away? I have a job to do. I'm hunting and killing them for my livelihood." So Narada Muni said that, "My dear sir, my dear Mugrari, Mriga means animal, and Ari means the enemy of the animals. My dear Mugrari, it's all right that you're a hunter and you're killing animals, but why are you half killing them, leaving them flapping in pain?" Mugrari said, "Well, my father taught me this, that we should half kill them and enjoy their pain, their suffering." So Narada Muni said that that's a very bad idea. And he showed by his mystic power to the hunter that right now you have the human form of life and you're torturing these animals, but in the future you'll become these animals, whatever animal you're killing, and they'll come back in the human form of life and torture you as a reciprocation of karma. So Mugrari, the hunter, became fearful, and he asked Narada Muni what he should do. So Narada Muni told him that he should go home and give away all his animal skins and break his bow. And then Mugrari said, "Well, how am I going to live? This is my occupation." And Narada Muni said, "No, actually, Krishna will provide for you." And therefore he did that. He followed Narada Muni's instructions. Soon it became news that this big, big animal killer, Mugrari the hunter, had been converted into a pure devotee, and therefore people came to visit him. And when you visit a saintly person, you bring them some offering. So now he was getting too much food. When Narada Muni and Parvati Muni, Narada Muni his partner, companion, came to visit Mugrari the hunter. Then Mugrari the hunter saw his spiritual master and he started to run to him. But then he stopped. So Parvati Muni was very surprised that here he is, he's running towards you, but suddenly he stopped. So what's going on? Why did he stop? So Narada Muni said, "Well, actually, he saw some ants on the ground, and now he's afraid of stepping on them, and therefore he's very careful where he's walking." So this man who was taking pleasure in half-killing animals now is concerned about even stepping on an ant. So such is the power of a great devotee such as Narada Muni, who's one of our Mahajans. Now we can't imitate the Mahajans, so we have to be careful. We should go where the field is most receptive. It's our duty to help people become Krishna conscious, by whoever we meet, we should tell them or try to help them become Krishna, about Krishna, or somehow or another help them become Krishna conscious, invite them to come to the temple or read or take a book or something. But we should also be concerned that who actually is qualified and who's not qualified to some degree. If we have a choice between offering Krishna consciousness to a person who's qualified and one who's less likely to be qualified, we should know our capacity. So here Krishna mentions four kinds of impious people who generally don't take to Krishna. And Krishna has mentioned them many places in Bhagavad Gita as diskritinas. Chatura vidha bhajante namam diskritina muda prapadyante naradama maya aprita jnana asram bhavam ashritya. They'll never take to the process of bhakti yoga, even the very most elementary parts of it. And without bhakti yoga, it's not possible to understand Krishna. And without understanding Krishna, then it's not possible to engage in devotional service. So those who are sinful, those who are atheistic, those who are deceitful, they generally won't take to the process of devotional service. And those who are foolish. So here it mentions the foolish, the sinful, the deceitful, and the atheistic. Now, those who are foolish will never understand what is the value of Krishna consciousness. They're called napataskaya, those who have no credit of austerity. Their only business is to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and they won't recognize anything beyond that. As Manidhar Prabhu said in one of his talks, that when he was in distributing books, sometimes he'd meet people and they'd look at the book and they'd wonder, what does it taste like? They'd think, maybe this is brown, it tastes like chocolate, and they buy it on that basis. No interest in any higher knowledge, and therefore it's very difficult to actually engage them in devotional service. Because they have no interest. As Krishna says in another part of the Bhagavad Gita, agyas chasridanas cha samshayatma vinashati nanyam lokasti naparo nasukam samshayatmaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, some people, they know nothing about Krishna, nor do they want to know anything about Krishna. They have no interest in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they have no faith whatsoever, because they have no knowledge whatsoever. And if you explain to them knowledge, they're not interested, so they won't listen. Now, some people, they have some knowledge of the Vedic scripture, especially like Bhagavad Gita. They can even quote passages, but they don't believe anything it says. So they're also faithless. You can teach a parrot to chant Hare Krishna, but it's not going to make any advancement. We can meet people, especially in India, who have memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, but they don't believe a word it says. Others who have some faith in the Vedic literature and may even follow it to some degree or another, but they don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they'll never engage in devotional service. So these kind of people, those who have no background of austerity, those who have no devotion, who don't follow any teachings of the Vedic scriptures, or those who have some teachings but they don't believe in devotional service to Krishna, so these are not very good candidates. And what to speak of those known as the asram bhavam ashrityas, those who are atheistic, who hate Krishna, hate the very idea that there can be anyone superior to them. Even they become spiritually realized, but they're envious of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna advises that we shouldn't waste our time and try to tell the Bhagavad Gita to such personalities unless we're highly qualified. Highly qualified means that we're actually going to be able to do something to help these people. Otherwise, it comes under the category of preaching to the faithless. What is preaching to the faithless means? It means we tell them about Krishna and they become angrier. It's like preaching to some Christians and try to tell them that Jesus Christ said thou shalt not kill, and they become angry that you're quoting from their scripture, doing something that they shouldn't be doing, something that they're convinced that they want to do, and that they're perfect Christians even if they do it. So such preaching is not very productive. We can prove from their scriptures something, and then they simply become angry because we frustrated their material desires. They have no desire to learn anything else. They're not going to listen to us as an authority or to Krishna as an authority. And therefore, all we're going to do is agitate their minds. So that's called anuvega karam vakyam. We should not teach people if by our teaching will simply agitate their mind for no productive reason. Therefore, Krishna says we shouldn't talk to them. Of course, when we hold classes, Prabhupada said, we teach anyone who comes, everyone gets a chance, but we should be discriminating in our personal dealings with people to see how receptive they are to the teachings. If we talk to the Bhagavad Gita, we tell them something, and we see they're falling asleep, it's not a good idea. What to speak of if we're distributing a book and we find that people are distracted? It means they have a little interest. Generally speaking, it's best to ask for a donation and then go on to the next person who might be more receptive. Therefore, generally speaking, book distribution doesn't mean a long conversation with people because people's attention is not very good. And generally, they'll be distracted by one of these four reasons, either because of lack of austerity, the lack of devotion, the lack of willingness to surrender to God, or the fact that everyone is envious in this world. And all you do is have to say the wrong word, and one of these four qualities will manifest themselves, and you'll be left with your book in your hands. And at the end, Krishna says that we should preach to the innocent, because that's our main project. That Krishna says at the end, that anyone who preaches to the innocent, that devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he'll come back to me. Or Krishna says to my devotees, or potential devotees.